the Fan on Demand. The Rap. With Eric Smith and Paul Jones.
Welcome back to the ACC. Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you. Actually, Jonesy just making his way up the stairs. He'll be with us in a couple of moments, and we're just outside Air Canada Center within Maple Leaf Square, inside Real Sports Apparel, just across the way from Real Sports Bar and Grill. And the phone lines will be open till 11 o'clock this evening, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. The Raptors tonight fall down by 16 early in the game, only to cut it to 2 at the end of 1 on an 18-4 run, tie the game early in the second quarter, but then walk into the half down by 12. And then it just unraveled in the second half of the ball game. Toronto falling down by as many as 23, and they lose by 16. Again, the final 117-101. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. The Raptors shoot 47% from the floor tonight, and the defense, which is usually pretty good on most nights, coughs up 54% to the Magic. And Ryan Anderson leads the way with 28 points in the ballgame. Dwight Howard had 23 points, 10 rebounds. Lots to talk about tonight in terms of Toronto with yet another player going down, or should I say another player going down again, as Jared Bayless re-aggravated his left hip injury. And he did not play in the second half of the ballgame. His status right now, day-to-day, as the Raptors will get set for their next action on Wednesday when they host the Denver Nuggets. And then later on this week, on Friday evening, the Miami Heat come to town. So you would hope, if you're a Raptor fan, that you're going to see a full complement of players and a healthy squad in time for Friday's action against the Heat, with Bayless now sidelined, again, day-to-day, and DeMar DeRozan having missed his second straight game. There was some belief, some talk, that DeRozan was going to be okay for Saturday, and then when it came around to game time, turned out that his ankle was bad enough to keep him sidelined, and to see his Ironman streak of starts for the Raptors end one game shy of tying Alvin Williams for that mark. And now it's not just one game, he's actually missed two in a row, as DeRozan did not suit up tonight for Toronto. There was actually a little bit of burn for Allen Anderson, who was signed by the Raptors to a 10-day contract today after a short stint in the D League and playing a bunch of years over the course of the last 5-6 years overseas in places like Israel and Croatia and Russia, you name it. He's been bouncing all over the map. He gets a chance now. The Michigan State grad, 4-year starter at MSU, was in the 2005 Final Four, now playing for the Raptors on a 10-day contract, and he saw some floor tonight, 7.5 minutes, and he just landed in TO at 5:30, less than 2 hours before tip-off. Just a wild night, but the Raptors ultimately get blown up by the Magic, 117-101. And right after the 40 Sports Update, we go straight to you and your phone calls, 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. It's The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back to The Wrap on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Paul Jones, Eric Smith with you. The Raptors tonight losing to the Magic, 117-101. We're just inside Real Sports Apparel, just across the way from Real Sports Bar and Grill. Taking your phone calls right up until 11 o'clock, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Len Gremonopoulos down in the locker rooms, Jones. He just actually sent me a quick message here. He said that it was a very quick press conference with Dwayne Casey. We'll hear some of those comments hopefully a little bit later on. And the first things that he said, and one of the few things that he apparently said in a very quick press conference, he said he can't explain the three balls. The Magic going 15 of 34 from distance tonight. His comment regarding the threes, you tell me. And then he said, two teams coming in, Denver and Miami, are coming in to step on our throats. That's from Dwayne Casey, head coach of the Raptors.
Didn't we say that earlier with this week in the homestand? When you look at Orlando, you look at Denver, you look at Miami, all these guys are playoff teams, and they are coming in here to win and advance their fortunes toward making the playoffs. So it's, you know, Dwayne Casey's right. I mean, they come in here, and they're looking at the record, and they have to figure, we're going to Toronto, and we're going to get wins. And Toronto's got to do a better job of coming out, playing hard. They've got to do a better job defending their home court. I mean, there's no way they can, you know, come in and have another effort like that. And let's face it, it was bad in the first quarter. They recovered a little, but they didn't sustain it, and they weren't able to sustain it, and it turned into a game where Orlando didn't work as hard as I think they had to, or people thought they would have had to get a win.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's grab some phone calls now. Lots of time to talk tonight, and lots of topics, questions, issues we can get into. You bring it up, we'll discuss it, and we start with Victor in Milton. Go ahead, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Victor.
Good evening, Dance. As a matter of fact, I got a lot of stuff to ask and to comment on, so I'll take my time and hurry up and condense my thoughts. First, I want to start with something that you pointed out, Eric, on the Tim and Sid show. I think it was probably Wednesday or maybe Tuesday of last week. And you mentioned that the Raptors, they lose by an average of about 5 points. So that got me curious. So I went to NBA.com and I looked at some stats, some stat differential. And there's like 12 stats, field goals per games and four and free throws and so on and so forth. There's about 12 individual stats. And what I've noticed, the winning teams, out of the 12, they've got 7 or more on the positive side, and the Raptors have 4. But they're right on the cusp of being, and the stats to compare their percentages against other teams' percentages. Now, the one that is really damning, and it's only two teams that's at the bottom, this Golden State and themselves, is free throws 4. On average, a team shoots 6.5 more free throws than they do. And the next closest one will be Boston. Their opponents showed 3.4%. Now, the other thing that I found interesting with the Raptors is, let me see now. I'm trying to condense my thought here, because, so I'm not all over the place.
It's okay, Victor. While you're looking, you're talking about free throw differential in a game, right? So if I shoot 15, Eric's shooting 20. That's what you're talking about, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Actually, Eric is shooting 21.5.
Yeah, well, and we've talked about how the whistle works sometimes for or against the Raptors. There's a guy that knows a little bit about how the whistle works, Mr. Nick Kyprios. Need a Kipper out there to grab a few boards.
They could have used them tonight.
Yeah, knock a few people down.
Yeah, but you know what? But the thing is about the Raptors is that on average, though, like in terms of the development, they are not that far, like within a couple of percentage points of being like even with other teams. On that stat line, the 12 stats, they're not that bad. Like Miami, they're on the positive 8 out of 12 of the stats. And Oklahoma, the same kind of thing. So they're not that far away in terms of their effort on the court. The other thing you talked about, the three-point shot, if I remember correctly, teams have shot 120 more three-point shots than they have, and they've made 44 less than other teams. So that's something, if I'm working to manage a team, I would look at those stats, because in baseball, stats lie. But every other sport, it doesn't lie that often. So let's. My other concern, and this is a question to both you guys, the core of this team is Bargnani, DeRozan, and Paul. You mentioned a word which I love, and you use this to describe about James Johnson, his demeanor, and I love mean in demeanor. That guy has no fear. You were talking about it when he was covering Carmelo Anthony, and he had no fear. He didn't give him that sort of respect, and that's what we need. We need more of those guys. So going forward with Valanciunas, who's the core of this team that we can build on? Now I'll listen and hang up and see what you guys have to say. Thanks.
Hey, all right, Victor, appreciate the call.
Thanks for the call, and we always appreciate your calls, Victor. You're a regular, and we like it when you call in. I want to go back before you get to the core, Eric, and address Victor's comment about James Johnson and his demeanor. His demeanor is great. That's the attitude you need. That needs to be pervasive throughout the team.
Yeah.
But in having that attitude, you also have to use it smartly. you can't just go at a guy because you're not afraid at the wrong time. You need to pick your spots. You need to learn. And I think for James Johnson, that's the next step in the development, the decision-making that goes with that demeanor. And Victor's point is true. And what does the old adage say? There's a fine line between good and bad, right? We always say in the NBA, never underestimate how close you are to being bad when you're good and how close you are to being good when you're bad. It's that fine a line. And it, as Victor said, just a few stats. So it's a great point, Victor, but I think it's the decision-making that goes along with the demeanor, not with James Johnson, but with everybody else as well. Eric,
you talk about the core as well, Jonesy, and who your group is, your core going forward. I think at this point, you correct me if I'm wrong, Jonesy, I don't know if you know, and I don't mean you, I mean you in general, Brian Colangelo,
the
management
you.
Team, the collective you.
Yeah.
Because you assume, on paper at least, it's your latest draft picks, Valanciunas, Davis, DeRozan, with the way James Johnson has emerged, and Andrea Bargnani still in the mix. But we've talked about this at great length, I think, over the last week or two. We still haven't seen Bargnani and DeRozan enough together to truly know at this point right now on March 26 if they complement each other or not, if they can truly work together on the floor or not. I don't think we know yet at this point without having seen Ed Davis in two summer leagues. He missed the first one because of being hurt and missed the second one with the lockout. Does he need a summer working with coaching staffs, working with trainers, guys that can work with him on his own to get him ready so that he's hitting the ground running at the beginning of the season, as opposed to, yet again, a work in progress that you see bright lights from over the course of the season who finally looks good by the end of the year, and now, oh, well, it's the end of the year and year's over.
Right.
Valanciunas is going to be an intangible, an X factor coming over, but can you sit here and say what he is or isn't going to be next year as a big man, as a rookie in this game? And then Bargnani, who looked like a guy who was playing at an all-star level for 13, 15 games prior to the injury, has come back and struggled to really get his game going again on a consistent basis in the handful of games he's played since ultimately making his return. So I think there are a lot of question marks right now about, is that our core? Is he part of the core? Does he fit into the mix? And I would say, this is just my own opinion, my own theory. I don't know if you can sit here right now and say that anybody, other than maybe Valanciunas, because you simply don't know, I don't know if anybody can sit here and say that that player is untouchable or that player is untouchable. I think you got to be open to anything and everything and continue to use this next month
to evaluate
the evaluation process.
No question.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Aaron in Toronto, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, Aaron.
Hi. Quickly, just about that core, I think you guys forgot to mention that we're going to be having a top six pick this year, most presumably, as well as the most cap in the league, right? So add Valanciunas, add that top six pick, add that cap space, add DeRozan, add developing Bargnani and DeRozan into James Johnson, and the future looks pretty bright. But just on a guy like Gary Forbes, in terms of that Barbosa deal, where we got a late second rounder, and in the meantime, we're probably going to lose a couple more games because of losing Barbosa. But we also get to see the emergence of a guy like Gary Forbes, and he's been playing well in his last couple games. So just your thoughts on Gary Forbes and if he is a real good bench piece going along in the future, or if it's just a quick stint in Toronto.
Thanks for the call. They signed Forbes to a long-term deal. He is a guy that played in Denver for George Karl. Dwayne Casey worked with George Karl in Seattle. I would think that Brian Colangelo, knowing all that too and checking, doing his homework, here's a guy who has a chance to be a player in the league. Maybe it was a money thing why Denver couldn't hang on to him. I think he has a chance to be here when the team turns the corner. And I'm going to borrow Kenny Smith's line, our colleague from TNT. There are some guys that score points on a bad team, and there are good players on bad teams, and there are guys that, well, somebody's got to score even though it's a bad team. And Kenny's term for that, and I love it, is a looter in a riot. Gary Forbes, I do not think he's a looter in a riot. I think this kid has potential. He's shown he can score. They're trying to make him into more of a ball handler, a guy who can run the offense to increase his skill set and his versatility. I think he's got a chance. I don't think he's just one of those guys, well, the team's bad and somebody has to score. I really think he has a chance.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. We'll go to Jeff in Toronto. Go ahead, Jeff. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, guys. How are you tonight?
Good, thanks. Jeff. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I just came from the game. I was just speaking to your producer prior to coming down the air. I was a bit disappointed, but, you know, I have to admit it was the ugliest 100 points I think I've seen all season. I haven't lost confidence in the team moving forward, but I think that tonight there was just a real – the team didn't seem to be playing as a cohesive unit, but I also wanted to maybe put this out there for you guys. This condensed schedule seems to really be playing a lot of havoc with the squad. Some nights they're there, some nights they're just sort of absent and tired, and they just look drained. They came back almost the full amount with the 20 tonight, but then they just sort of ran out of gas, and it's like, you know, maybe I think this condensed schedule does have a heck of an impact on the squad, and it does seem to take a lot out of them. So I'd like to put that out there for your guys' thoughts. Thanks.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call. It's a great point. That being said, everybody's dealing with a condensed schedule, and I think what the biggest issue is, and we said this at the beginning of the year, it's those teams that have been together, the veteran teams, teams that understand and have a little bit of chemistry and not a lot of, because you're not going to have a lot of practice time. And you look at, you know, how well teams like, I mean, they've got talent too, let's face it, but Chicago, Miami, Orlando, look at Philadelphia, what they've, you know, what kind of start they've gotten off to. Indiana, the core of that playoff team from last year, and you add a veteran like David West that understands how to play. And then the same thing in the West. I mean, everybody thinks the Lakers are done. They're holding down the third seed right now. Now, it's packed. It's close out there. Look at San Antonio. No practice time. Guys that are old, but they understand how to play. And in a condensed schedule, I think it's the teams with the chemistry, you know, devoid of practice time that are going to step to the forefront, and guys that understand how to play. And you're right. This and people keep saying this is a young Raptors team. It's not really a young team. But it is young in key places. It's inexperienced in key places. They got experience with Calderon, and then what? You know, you've got DeRozan in his third year. You've got a developing Forbes. You've got, well, Bargnani's a guy that I would consider experienced too. Yeah. But again, without the practice time to play together, I think it makes it tough. And I think the caller, is it Jeff?
Yes.
I think it's a great point, Jeff, about the schedule being so condensed and so packed in that you run out of gas. You don't have time to recover, and when you are trying to recover, you're trying to squeeze in a
practice. That's it. It's the same for everybody, but
yeah.
But I mean, it's still point taken, especially for a team that is young in key positions and trying to figure it all out without the kind of practice time. And then Calderon misses some games. Bayless seems to be getting into a groove. Calderon comes back. Bayless gets hurt. Then DeRozan goes down. You try to go on without Bargnani. Now you know, kind of change the rotation based on, you know, waving a Carter and a Rasul Butler and bringing other guys in, and you lose, you know, some of your front court for a while as well with other injuries. It's just kind of been that type of year. And generally, if you look down, generally, the teams that have had the best depth and or the least amount of injuries are the ones that have continued to roll along.
Absolutely.
And not necessarily skip the beat that obviously the Raptors have. And listen, I know this is of little consequence to some folks, but it is a fact that, and we talked about it in the first call of the show with Victor, that on most nights, win or lose, the team is battling and the team is performing, and I use this term loosely, quote-unquote, well, whether it's a loss or a win.
Well,
they're battling, they're out there scratching and clawing, whatever. But at the end of the day, are they simply just not talented enough right now to beat a lot of teams in the league? And that's something that obviously the club has to improve upon going forward. And I think it's a good chunk of the reason why a Barbosa deal is made, Jonesy, to improve the talent, or at least give yourself the opportunity to improve the talent via trade, then improve the talent more via draft, then assess what you now have and say, okay, we still need more, so maybe we're either careful with what we orchestrate in another trade, or we even use an amnesty to clear some space to be active not only in a potential trade, but maybe a free agent signing or both. So there's a lot of twists and turns that the Raptors could take with their roster when you look forward to the offseason.
21 of the 40 games with a minute to go, we're inside 5 points. So take that for what it's worth. Close, only won five of those games, but over half the games with a minute to go, 5 point, two possession game.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Feels like we've already been on for about an hour because we've taken so many phone calls, and good on you folks for dialing in and getting in on the action. If you want to join the conversation, there are a couple lines open, and we will continue this right up until 11 o'clock. We'll get some reaction a little bit later on from the locker room as well, and maybe even replay a portion of that interview that we had a chance to do with Joe Carter midway during the game as well. But if you want to join the conversation, again, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. We've been assessing the roster a lot and looking ahead to the offseason and what might come of it. And heck, it's also tying in with the start of the Toronto Blue Jays baseball season in, just over a week as well. And it wasn't that long ago that people felt that maybe this team, the Toronto Raptors, was the one that had the most reason to be optimistic. And I don't know if folks still feel that way, Jonesy. I think they see the potential, maybe, for something to be there. But I think the Jays have stolen a lot of the hype, in a sense, as well. The problem is, stuck in that division, stuck in that league, even with the added wild card, we'll see if that ultimately plays out in terms of playoff appearances, because this city has proven one thing over the many years, and not to date you, but you're even older than I am. I think more people will get jacked up about an eighth seed, because at least you're in.
Yeah.
You have a chance, as opposed to, great, you finished four games above 500, but you didn't make the playoffs.
Get me in the dance at the end, man. Get me in the dance at the end. Hey, even if the music's fast and I'm dancing slow, I'm in the dance. If I get one round and I get sent out, I was dancing for a little bit. So I'm with you. Just get me in.
All right, so again, a couple lines open, and we'll get right back to the calls right after the 10 o'clock sports update. So if you're on the line, stay there. You will be up in mere moments on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back to the ACC. Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you. The wrap continues here until 11 o'clock tonight. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Jonesy threw the jinx on us on our Wi-Fi. So just so the boys at back of the station know, we're without the prompter right now. Jonesy just killed our Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I said the Wi-Fi just jammed up on my BlackBerry here, so I had to shut it down, and I got the voodoo doll on the computer there.
Yeah, apparently so. You're killing us here. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. The Raptors tonight losing to the Magic, 117-101. And we'll try and go back to your calls right here. If memory serves me right, we're going to Kirk in Mississauga. Go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Eric, PJ, how you guys doing there, man?
Good, how you Kirk? Doing?
Good. Man, a disappointing loss tonight. I don't know. It seems when you're at home, these guys are not, either if the fans aren't getting into it or the injuries, I guess, or is not enough hype. But I got a couple points I wanted to get forward to you guys, see what you guys think. I was kind of interested in knowing what you guys' picks are for the Final Four in New Orleans. That being one, Forbes. Somebody was mentioning him a little earlier. Do you guys see him as a two or a three? I know he's a good scorer, but kind of like a jam in the backcourt there with him and DeRozan. I want to know how you guys would clear, how you think Colangelo would clear that up. Also, Wilson Chandler coming in, I guess, on Wednesday. And I don't know, he got $47 million over, what, 4 or 5 years? When we were negotiating, were we offering this kind of money, or is this kind of money that's probably going to be available for the offseason for a pick with the amnesty and that forth? And lastly, I don't know, man, but the injuries, I'm thinking this is a year after year, you see the same guys getting babysitted year after year. You know, yeah, you got an injury that's probably in the same area of your body or whatever, but sitting the maximum amount of games. And, you know, this kind of, you know, you got a guy like Bayless that wants to come in and play. Yeah, it's her, he's trying to play, but it's not going to cut it. But Where is the management and, you know, this guy they brought in from the Lakers? How do they stand with these guys? Like, do you have to ask them before the game, are you going to play, or does the doctor examine them with the X-rays or whatever it is? But I'm trying to find out why it is that certain guys are getting babysitted, and then there's other guys that, you know, want to play, and they're probably trying to sit them right now. So Thanks. You guys are doing a good job. You guys have a good night.
All right, appreciate the phone call. We had Jonesy here writing the list down. You want to work in reverse order, Jonesy, or
no,
how
I'll
do you want to hit?
I'll go from the top. Forbes is a 2-3, Kirk. And I think those positions.
I think it depends on the matchup. It can be interchangeable.
That's what I was going to say. They are interchangeable. It's a matter of the right matchup. Sometimes you cross the matchup. Sometimes, you know, if you have a chance, you post up. I think it depends on what the defense gives you and what you're going to take. My final four, two of them are still alive. I had Ohio State and Kentucky in the finals. That final is still possible. North Carolina and Michigan State were the other two I had, and, you know, they bowed out.
Well, and I had the exact same final four, but I had a different final, so my final's dead because I had Kentucky over North Carolina.
Now, it would be interesting to see how Kentucky, an athletic team, matches up with Ohio State, who are a good team. They are a good team, but a guy like Sullinger is not going to jump over you. He's not one of those freakishly athletic type guys. You know, he plays a lot on the ground, a lot below the rim, uses his body, uses his smarts. I'd like to see how that matches up with, you know, with a Kentucky. Heck, we're going to see how it matches up on the other side with Kansas, who is pretty athletic. So I'm looking forward to the matchups. Kirk, to me, people love the Kentucky Derby. They say it's the best Saturday in sports, the fastest, you know, 3 minutes or 2 minutes, 3 minutes in sports. To me, there's nothing like that Final Four Saturday with those two games. To me, it's even better than the Monday night. I love the final, but the anticipation of the two games, that doubleheader, is terrific. Wilson Chandler, I think the trade of Nene allowed them to free up the money and take and you know, wheel and deal in a sense, because it sounds like they really wanted him. So I don't know what Toronto was offering. Those kinds of things, Kirk, are never made public. And as for the injuries, I go back to what our first caller said: compacted season, and some guys have different pain thresholds. And in talking to Alex McKechnie, and Eric and I get a chance to talk to him, there are time limits on injuries that you can't rush. I mean, I strained my calf, pulled my calf. I don't know what I've done to it. He looked at me and he said, he hasn't treated me or anything. I told him what it was, what I was feeling. He said, it's going to be 6 weeks. It's what he told me. He said that kind of thing. And he explained shearing forces and all this stuff. And, you know, I'm a kinesiology major and understand all that. And he said, dude, it's going to be 6 weeks. It's been 11 days now. I'm still limping. There's all kinds of swelling. It's going to be 6 weeks before I can get out and run like that again.
Well, maybe you and Stan Van Gundy can sit back and chill during your time on the injured list, Jonesy, because after the game, apparently Van Gundy said that he thought the ovation after the game for the pizza was for a whole pizza, not just for a slice.
He's the best, isn't he? Stan, the best.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell.
And did it sound something like this? Well, I thought the cheer was for a whole pizza, never mind just a slice.
You just like doing it now. You anytime you get a chance to do your
impression. But I thought
impression.
It was for a whole pizza, not a slice. I mean, I can go and buy a slice.
I'm sure he's had some. See, this brings up this quickly, just to divert for a second. This brings up, I was talking to somebody the other day, a friend of mine, who works at the other place. And she said that she's been doing some work of late with Jack Armstrong. And as a New Yorker, you want to get Jack fired up, talk to him about pizza. And when you go into a pizza joint, and you shouldn't have to say, I would like a slice of cheese, I would like a slice of pepperoni, I would like deluxe, I would like whatever. Jack will get like red in the face and get angry and say, no, a slice is cheese. You should just have to walk in and say, give me a slice, because it's the New York in him. And if you want meat, you say, give me pepperoni. But that's it. There should only be cheese and pepperoni. No other pizza exists. Everything else gets too fancy, and Jack will get, like, red in the face, hot under the collar, talking about his pizza. And I, Jonesy, adopt his theory as well. Because if there's one thing I despise, like, I'm not really a mushroom guy, I'm not really a green pepper guy, it's either cheese or pepperoni, but I will tell you, I will fight somebody if they put pineapple on their pizza. I think that is the most disgusting thing, putting sweet, tangy fruit on, like, spicy, gooey cheese and sauce. It's the worst combination.
It takes all kinds.
No, no.
It takes all kinds.
All kinds of fools. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. See, we get into pizza discussions even. On a night where the Raptors lose 117-101, looking ahead to the offseason for the Raptors, the final month of the season, a lot to talk about Raptor-related as we go to Chris in Toronto on Sportsnet 590. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, we're just heading back from the game, and we've seen a few games this season. And our Danny, to us, my son and I, he just doesn't seem as fit or as strong. Like, he was just overpowering people early on. Great first step, great energy, and it just seems to be a fitness issue. And again, I'm a Bargnani fan. I'm not criticizing. He just doesn't seem to have been fully recovered. You know, should he take some time and get fitter, or should he just play back and play into fitness over the last part of the season?
All right, thanks for the call. Well, hey, look, he's the only one, and you know, I admire your accounts and what your potential explanations would be. He's the only guy that knows how he feels. Eric and I have talked about this back in the Vince Carter days when people were saying, well, Vince should be out there. Hey, man, when a guy says he's hurt and he can't go, then he can't go. I don't want you out there limping around. If you're out there, and my kids know this because it's my attitude when I'm playing sports. If you're hurt and you can play and it's not going to bother you, then get out there and play, and I don't want to hear about it. If you can't play, if you're injured and you can't play, then sit down and don't say, oh, I wish I was out there. You can't. Because if you were out there at a quarter speed, you'd be hurting us. So guys have different pain thresholds. They recover in different ways. You would have to really kind of just ask Bargnani that. There are times when it looks like, yeah, something's not right. But I don't know if that's him letting the game come to him. I don't know if that's him being partially injured and not being able to go full speed. He had a minute restriction early on. I don't know what kind of shape he's in, because it's not like you get to work on your conditioning. They don't have a lot of time to practice. Think about last week. Tuesday, New York. Wednesday, Chicago. Thursday is a day that you usually use for recover.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, New York. Saturday, travel to Chicago. We got in there, what, 3 in the morning Eastern?
Yeah, about
3:30.
Yeah.
Sunday, home, and then Monday again. That's 5 games in, what, 7 days in 4 different cities, right? 3 different cities. Mm-hmm. So it takes its toll on your body as well. And I know people say, oh, back-to-back, you guys travel well. Yeah, we do travel well, and it would be even worse if they had to do the other stuff, but that doesn't make it any easier. It doesn't help you recover
now,
any quicker.
I will say this as well, just quickly, and I want to make sure I'm clear about this, folks. We do travel well. The players travel even better. They stay in great hotels and everything else. But whether you have a foot of room to stretch out or 3 feet of room to stretch out, whether your chair reclines back, you know, 25% or 75%, you're still in the air. You're still dealing with the pressure change and all that stuff, which has impacts on injuries and on bodies, especially on professional athletes that have been running around and going through a pounding for 2-3 hours. And there are some who will tell you, even within the professional sports ranks, Jonesy, that say it's actually not a good thing for athletes to be flying late at night after games and getting in at bizarre times. It's actually better for them to spend the night, to get a sleep in a bed, and even if it means a bit of an earlier wake-up call, if you can rely on the maturity and responsibility of the players to get to bed at a decent hour so that they're waking up rested and not waking up at, you know, 8 in the morning and getting 4 hours sleep because they were out all night, then that's actually better on the bodies to enable them to sleep and then travel, as opposed to late night, get in at an awkward time, go to bed at an awkward time, have to wake up the next day, adjust that day to time zones and everything else. There are some that believe that, but because of the cost involved in pro sports, and because of, especially in a season like this,
yeah,
that's so condensed, you don't have the freedom or the luxury to be able to do that, because you have to get home to get ready for the next day, or get on the road for the back-to-back, or get back home to have a practice to get ready for the next day, or to get the body back on track and whatever else, or you simply don't have the cash as an organization to spend an extra night in a 3 or 4 or 5-star hotel in any city, let alone in New York or L.A. or Chicago where the prices are higher, and you don't have the cash to put 30, 40, 45 guys up at that price, so it's better to get in the air and get home. It becomes a business factor as well. So whether you're in the air or not and traveling well, it still has a major impact on the body. I mean, you could be, Jonesy, I could stick you on a plane by yourself. If you're hurt and your calf's banged up, being 30,000 feet in the air ain't going to feel good whether you're sitting with your knees up to your chest on a commercial flight or if you're on a private charter laying down. Still going to hurt, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Still going to have an impact.
Absolutely.
And, hey, man, you did this in school. I didn't.
Yeah, that's true.
416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. We'll continue with your phone calls after the 20 Sports Update. Reaction from the locker room coming up later on as well. Raptors lose tonight to the Magic, 117-101 on the wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back to the wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Paul Jones, Eric Smith with you. Phone lines stay open at 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. The Raptors tonight losing to the Magic, 117-101, 28 points for Ryan Anderson. He was the top scorer in the ballgame, 23 points, 10 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 steals, 3 assists for Dwight Howard. And been chatting away with a guy on Twitter and then saw somebody else that walked by our postgame location here. And we talked about this, Jonesy, on the air when we were just wrapping up downstairs before we came upstairs here to Real Sports Apparel to start the show. Dwight Howard, after the game, took off his shoes and gave them to 2 separate fans baseline. And one of the dudes that got one of the shoes walked by here and showed us that big size, whatever, 19 or whatever the hell he wears. So good on Dwight Howard doing a little...
Yeah, and unprompted. I mean, he didn't leave the court right away.
I thought it was
away.
Somebody maybe new or something.
No, he didn't leave the court right away. Walked over to the baseline, wandered over, took off wristbands and compression sleeves and shoes and whatever, and hey, just gave them away.
And all the ladies in the crowd just keep going. What else you take it off? Those ladies were fired up tonight behind us.
I didn't hear what they said.
They were killing the Raptors.
Really?
As Jameer Nelson was standing there, and then J.J. Redick went running by, so of course everybody started swooning then as well, too. I can tell you, though, when we filled out, we get a little piece of paper, folks, that asks us for our top 4 requests for post-game interviews. Okay? And you get that after at every game. Who are your 4 guys? And you fill out 4 Raptors and 4 from the other team, and obviously tonight the Magic. And number 1 on my list tonight was anybody but Redick. And then 3 more names. Because after the last time, I'm done with that dude. I don't need to talk to him ever again.
It's like the Notre Dame fan that says, who's your favorite team? And he says, I don't know, who's playing Michigan this week?
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590. On your cell, Warren in Scarborough. You're on Sportsnet 590. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Just want to say I love your show. And you guys are talking about what we need and what we don't need as far as players. I'm curious just to see what you guys have to say about us needing an all-star. We don't have an all-star on our team. Actually, here's a bit of trivia for you guys. We've got 1 all-star player, former all-star player, playing on our team right now. How important
Jamal McGlure.
Well done. There you go. That's how good our team is right now. How important do you guys think it is to have an all-star playing on our team? I'll let you guys answer that, and thanks a lot.
All right, thanks for the call. I appreciate you listening. I think it's important because it curries you favor with the officials. I'm telling you, when a guy drives and he's an all-star, Saturday night in Chicago, that team has a guy who's not an all-star, but they've got a good record and all-stars on their team. He drives wildly out of control on the baseline, throws it up, and crashes into Amir Johnson, who jumped straight up and probably could have put his head up through the mesh and the bottom of the mesh in the rim, and Amir got called for the foul. At the other end, James Johnson does the same thing, and there's scratches and scrapes as he's taking the ball to the goal. No call. I think it's important, but I think you also have to try and find one of those guys. If you can't trade for them, draft them and develop them. And that's where, you know, the people driving the tank for Tank Nation have they get my support. I mean, maybe DeMar in a couple of years. Heck, Chris Bosh was drafted and turned into an all-star. So was Vince Carter, but you've got to give it time. So I understand that. I think it is important to have, at least if not an all-star, a couple of guys that could potentially be all-stars and develop them. I go back to the Pistons in, what, 04? They didn't have a true superstar.
Yep.
Until we look back at it now.
Yep.
Richard Hamilton, Chauncey Billups, Tayshaun Prince, Ben Wallace, and who's the fifth one am I missing?
Rasheed.
And Rasheed Wallace, yeah, who was an all-star. So, yeah, I think it's important, no question, because it means you have talent as well.
Well, and at the end of the day as well, that's what you hope is being built right now, Jonesy. And that's the thing, goes back to when we had the conversation about the core and who's the core and what are you going forward with. You hope that at least the way you're playing on most nights, certainly not tonight, giving up 54%, losing by 16, giving up 15 three balls, this is going to be one that Dwayne Casey looks at and says, yeah, I'm going to put this one in that pile over there. On most nights, you've established a style where you're playing hard and you're playing defense and you're establishing a culture and you're battling in a lot of games. But at the end of the day, now it's time to evaluate the talent and you go forward. And if you want to be a team that is one day contending for the postseason, let alone contending for an Eastern Conference championship, let alone an NBA championship, you're going to have to just throw it all out the window and say, this is who we are, this is the way we play, no matter whether we have all-stars or don't have all-stars, whether we're hurt or not hurt. We're not looking at excuses. This is how we play, and we're going to get it done, win, lose, or draw, with what we've got because we're a good team, period.
Yeah, yes.
But how long is it going to take you to get to that point? That's the ultimate question. Philip in Wasega Beach. Go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Yes, good evening, guys. I was wondering why basketball has not developed a farm team system like baseball and hockey. I know there's a D-League, but you mentioned two fellows tonight, Andre Bargnani, who's playing himself back into condition, and Ed Davis, who's developing. If this was hockey or baseball, they'd be down the farm team and developing their skills. Why is there no AA, AAA basketball?
Appreciate the phone
Thanks
call.
The
and
call.
It's something that's been a question, an issue, a topic for a lot of years, Jonesy. And even when the D-League was coming up, it was something that was looked at. Used to be as well. That, Philip, when you were talking about the active or inactive list, it was also, you know, referred to at that time as injured list or whatever, and you were kind of at times hiding guys. And if you put somebody on an inactive list or an injured list, they had to be sidelined for a minimum of 5 games. And that would give you an opportunity to send a guy down. But whether it's the players not wanting to, whether it's cost factors, whatever it is, Jonesy, I'm sure there's a lot of issues, but it's written into the CBA that players at a certain age where a certain years of experience simply can't be sent down.
Right.
And I think it's something that you absolutely could or should look at. Because if a player, even an experienced player of 8, 9, 10 years, instead of just working out, heck, Derek Jeter goes down and plays AAA for 1 game, 2 game, 5 games, and hangs out with the 22, 24-year-old dudes at AAA playing in, you know, 5,000-seat stadiums,
and that's
to get himself in condition.
And it's good for them, too.
Absolutely. That's my point.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it is a great thing. And look, Eric, you hit it on the head when you said the CBA doesn't permit that. If a guy's got more than 2 years, he can't be sent down. You know, whenever the next CBA comes up in 6 years or whatever, maybe that's something they look at or, you know, give a guy an option to do that. Rather than saying he can't, give the veteran, if you 2 years or less, you can be sent down, 2 years or more, you have the option of going down to get yourself and work yourself back into shape.
The only problem, and I hear you, Jonesy, the only problem I would see with that potential theory, though, is if you agree to go down, it should still be the team's discretion when you come back, not yours. Because you can't say, oh, yeah, I'll go. But then you play one game and go, okay, I'm good, I'm coming back. This team should still hold some sort of power in terms of, well, hold on a second, you play one game, we don't rush you back. But then that creates the can of worms of, would a team be sending a guy down and then purposely keeping him down there to not bring him back up because they don't want him part of the team or they don't think he's good enough or they're hiding him down there or whatever it is. So there would have to be something, I think, a little bit more stringent written in.
Right, right.
You know, there's a lot of rules, though. I think you and I talked about this before. Jack even brought it up on one of our shows when he joined us for post game, a few weeks ago or something. You think about the way that it's set up now in the CBA, and I'm kind of just using, Philip, your idea of the minor leagues, talking about veteran players, though. Right now, veteran minimum at, what, $1 million, just over $1 million? A lot of teams will look at a lot of aging players and say, I like you, and I like what you could bring to my team, and you could have an impact on my team, not only on the floor, but potentially even more so in my locker room as a you know, a guiding light for some of my young players. But
you cost too much
money. But you cost too much money. I can get a second rounder for almost half of what you make, a little more than half of what you make. I can get a second rounder, or I can find some guy off the free agent pile as an undrafted free agent player or something, or and go grab him and pay him $550,000, $600,000, $650,000 and save myself, you know, $250,000. So if the veteran player had the option, instead of it being written into the CBA, that veteran players with X amount of years must make X dollar minimum, if I'm a guy who's played 16 years in the league and I still have teams interested in me, but they would rather only pay me $600,000 and not have to pay me $1 million, I should have the right to say, yeah, you know what? I've made a lot of money in my career. I still want to stay connected to the game. I still want to play, and I don't want to lose my job to some second rounder just because of math, because of finances. I want to keep playing, so I'll take the 600. Heck,
yeah, yeah.
I'll take the three. Look at Gilbert Arenas right now. Now, granted, it's only for 19 games. He's amnestied a $20 million contract, and now he's going to get paid like $300,000 because he wants to play, and he wants to try and prove that, yeah, I can still play and I can still be valuable. Now, again, he's still got $20 million sitting behind him, let alone all the other money he made prior to being amnestied. But still, that just shows right there, a guy will take less if he feels like I still need to play, want to play, and have something
Absolutely.
To offer or prove or whatever.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thomas in Toronto. Go ahead. You're on Sportsnet. Actually, you know what? Hang on, Thomas, because we're right up against the break. So hang on the line. You're going to be the first guy right after the 40 Sports update. I promise we're going to get Thomas, Gary, and others on the air. We'll try and get some reaction from the locker rooms as well. Raptors losing 117-101 on the wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back to the wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Paul Jones, Eric Smith with you. Ryan Anderson, 28 points, game high 28 to lead the Magic tonight, 117-101 over the Raptors. Toronto's next action comes Wednesday at the ACC. They play host to the Denver Nuggets. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. I teased it a little bit right before, but I appreciate him hanging on. Right now we go to Thomas in Toronto. Go ahead, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Thomas.
Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
No problem.
I heard Victor kick it off with some stats that he read out there, and of course, Victor, as always, he seems like he's drinking the Kool-Aid, talking about the stats, the free throws, suggesting that maybe the refs have a lot to do with some of the Raptor losses, whatever. And then I've heard you, Eric, speak about the travel and, you know, talking about it affects play, and then I hear this condensed schedule, so all in all, it's just a ball of excuses. At what point do we say the great teams got over these things and they never really cared about these things? I mean, you had Michael Jordan go in a game with the flu, play his heart out, and they won championships. I mean, you talk about the great.
Well, Thomas, it comes down to, you're right, and if those things, you let those things.
I mean, at what point do you say, you know what, we can't, this can't be an excuse?
I think Dwayne Casey's trying to say that. He's trying to establish that mindset, but you can say that all you want. The bottom line is he doesn't have the horses to pull the cart. He doesn't have the bullets in the gun to go shooting with everybody else. That's the bottom line right now. And these things, yeah, you can look at them as excuses, and they might rob you of a game or two. And when you're less talented, you're not going to win as many games, but it's the same for everybody, and we've said that. Don't misconstrue this as, well, it's an excuse. Now, the free throw shooting discrepancy, some of that, whether you want to admit it or not, is due to the way the game is officiated and the entertainment part of the NBA. That, you can, I'll argue till I'm blue in the face about that. But the other stuff, you're right. It's excuses, and the good teams get by it. Although there are times when it comes up and bites you. Miami loses last night at Oklahoma City, and they get beat tonight by Indiana. Good team. How much did the travel have an impact there? Indiana, I didn't check the schedule. Indiana have a day off, a couple days off to prepare. And the situation you talked about in the playoffs, Thomas, is totally different because it's you and me, two teams, and we're going to see each other every day or think about each other and prepare for each other every day for 10 days to 2 weeks. So that's a totally different situation. And there are teams that are built for the playoffs and others for the regular season. But right now, the Raptors just don't have the horses to pull the cart as fast as other teams. That's what it boils down to.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Gary in Mississauga, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, how are you, Gary?
Good. First of all, I just want to say you guys make a great team, you and Paul.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Listen, I think it was about 2 weeks ago. It was on Sportsnet.ca. Michael Grange did a column about the possibility of Carmelo acquiring him this offseason. And, you know, I understand writing a column, you want to get people's attention. And I'll tell you, he got my attention. And me and my buddies were talking about it at work. And I wanted to get, first of all, your guys' thoughts on that. And also, I'm a little worried about there seems to be too many, I don't know what you would call maybe advisors to Brian Colangelo. And I see the same thing happening with the Maple Leafs. It seems as though there's like 10 general managers for the Maple Leafs after Brian Burke. And, you know, when he came here mid-season back in, when was it, early 2006, he was one of the, what you can call him, the top young, up-and-coming general managers. And his dad's in charge of USA Basketball. And after 6 years, he needs Ed Stefanski, Mr. Girardini, and this the guy who was also with the Lakers a few years. What's happening in terms of what's his future with the Raptors? I mean, if you're as smart as the basketball world says you are, why do you need five advisors telling you where the top talent is in the world, or what shots you should be calling, and who you should be acquiring? Because as far as I'm concerned, I understand it's a deep draft this coming June, but at what point do you stop selling hope and start telling your fans that, listen, we're going to go out, we're going to get a star player? Because if we're going to go out and draft a Thomas Robinson that I've seen in some mock drafts, what are you telling Thomas Robinson, that come here because we've got a DeMar DeRozan who hasn't quite panned out? I don't know what your guys' opinion is, but who hasn't quite panned out. We have a few other loose-leaf players who are at best journeyman players in the NBA. And you're going to go and draft a Thomas Robinson or somebody else from Kentucky or Kansas, wherever, and you're going to tell these players that come and join a few other young players here? I mean, at some point, you gotta reestablish yourself. And if I'm Brian Colangelo, my dad has a lot of pull in the basketball world. I'm leaning on my dad, and I'm saying, Dad, listen, you're one of the best basketball minds out there. Like, offer me some advice, because if I can't learn from you, why am I bringing in other guys, five guys, to tell me what to do? You know what I mean? Anyway,
yeah.
Let me get your thoughts on that, and keep up the good work. Thanks.
Okay, hey, thanks for the comments off the top. You know what? We haven't asked him, but I would bet Brian leans on Jerry. I would bet he has questions for him. But in the end, it's the same way when, you know, I was 25 or whatever, and I said to my dad, hey, what do you think? And my dad said A, and I thought, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm going to do B. And then, you know, when I get to 30, I go, damn, he was right with A. Look, it's his decision. And advisors in anything, look, they're successful all over. I mean, you have a management team. And it's like the head coach on the bench, Dwayne Casey. Why does he need four assistants? Well, because you've got a guy looking after the defense, a guy helping you with the offense, a guy that knows the other team's plays. And you have all of those, but you make the decisions. And when I was an assistant coach, I was always told there's four of you and there's a head coach. And the head coach says, you guys can all give me the same suggestions, and that's one vote each. But I got five votes. So I'm gonna do what I want. I'll take your advice, I don't mean to say that Brian Colangelo doesn't listen, but in the end, the buck stops with him, and he makes the final decision. As to drafting a guy, everybody's on Oklahoma City right now, right? Can somebody please go back and look at the last 3 or 4 years before they got to the playoffs, how they bled, how they were 23 and 69 or whatever they were, 23 and 59, and they lost games, and P.J. Carlissimo was fired at 1 and 13, and you draft them, and you try to develop them, and once you see them coming, you try to support them with vets, and boom, you break through. And that's what Oklahoma City's done. I had this conversation with somebody on Twitter today about Vince Carter. Well, Jonesy, we need the draft pick. Yeah, you need the draft pick. But when Vince Carter came, who else came? Kevin Willis, Charles Oakley,
Muggsy Bogues, Del Curry,
Antonio Davis. Deeper. You don't win with young players. You develop them, and you support them because they're going to take their lumps. And often a good player goes to a team that hasn't done well, and this guy's used to winning in college. And he comes to the pros and he loses more games in the first 3 months than he lost all of his college career. And it happens. So, yeah, you got to draft him and you got to support him and you got to work with him and you got to develop him and you got to keep being positive and look toward the future. And at some point you break through. And I think that's what the fans, everybody's waiting for in Toronto, for the switch to be flipped, for the breakthrough to happen. Minnesota, Eric, we talk about them all the time after all these years of lottery picks. Mm-hmm. It looks like they're banging on the door, and if they don't get through this year, the fans will expect them to get through next year, turn the light on, and don't turn it off again. And I feel the frustration of all the fans, but you're going to get that draft pick. You've got money to spend. You put it together, and you make smart decisions going forward, and I think that's where your management team has to help you out. Ed Stefanski, his team right now that he built, is sitting with the fourth seed in the East, Philadelphia, right? People said, how can you let Andre Miller go? Well, you know what? Drew Holiday will be our guy in a few years. Mm-hmm. Not a bad move. Not a bad move.
Okay, I want to give folks at least the chance to hear from the head coach of the Raptors. If I can try and get a couple more calls on before the top, I will. But we had Len Graminopoulos working overtime tonight. Ryan Anderson, Dwight Howard, Bargnani, Calder.
Lenny's
jumping back and forth from both locker rooms because I said, "Hey, man, we're going to need some tape tonight. We got a long show." But instead, you guys, the callers, wrote it out. So kudos to you and Lenny. Thanks for the work. Anyway, maybe we can get some of that tape in the blog or something later. We can get it posted for you. But I want to at least give you a chance to hear from the head coach of the Raptors, Dwayne Casey, who was not thrilled to say the least after the game tonight with his team losing 117-101. Here's Dwayne Casey.
We know you guys are shorthanded, but you didn't seem to have the same urgency that you showed Chicago.
We sure didn't. I'm disappointed in our focus and attention to detail. We came out as flat as a pancake against one of the top teams in the league, and it's disappointing. I thought as well as we played against New York and Chicago, we had some momentum going, and we came out with the lack of whatever. And it is disappointing that we take a step back like that and play that way. So, again, I don't have an answer for it. I wish I did, you know, because it's the NBA. And you're going to have another team in Denver coming in, going to try to step on our throat. You got a team Friday, Miami, the top team in the league, is going to come in and try to step on our throat. So, you know, it's up to us to have that focus and energy and whatever you want to call it. I thought we had in a bottle, and evidently we didn't.
Is there any way to explain the freeze after you emphasized
that? You tell me, Eric. You explain it. I mean, it was, that's what I said, attention to detail, lack up thereof. And, you know, they come out and, you know, give them as many threes as we did, 15. And the magic number was 8. So, again.
You seem to regroup with Clay's.
We did. We got a little spark going there in the second quarter, but not enough. I mean, we didn't sustain it. We couldn't sustain anything offensively and definitely defensively. And, you know, that 47% shooting is deceiving. And just, you know, again, everyone here saw the game and, you know, we were just flat.
The defense, the problem with threes is just like slower to this effort.
Some of it was, you know, they have a distinct, different type of stretch four in Anderson. And, you know, guys are not Eddie's not used to rotating out on a guy like that. That's different, but it's not like we didn't go through it this morning a lot in shoot around. Again, attention to detail. And that's what you got to do in this league each and every night. You can't come out and turn it on and turn it off. You got to have the same focus and effort, and then you let the chips fall where they may. But you don't know if you don't bring the same focus as you had and try to rest on your laurels just because you played a good game against Chicago and New York.
There's the head coach of the Toronto Raptors, Dwayne Casey. And Jonesy, he said it right off the bat there, came out flat as a pancake, and they certainly will not be able to do that on Wednesday against the Denver Nuggets, let alone when you talk about Friday and the Miami Heat coming to town.
Got to come out and got to bring it every night. Got to be, you know, you're going to get embarrassed if you don't. And that's, I would say it doesn't happen often for this team. Like we pointed out, 21 of their 40 games, over half the games, 5-point difference with a minute to go, either up or down five. So they've been in a lot of games, but, you know, I see what Dwayne Casey's saying. I feel for him. And on a night like this, when you think you're establishing some consistency with games that you've played hard against, you know, New York and Chicago after having a couple of bad ones, you get this and it seems like a step back. I feel for him, and I know what he's talking about. And, you know, he doesn't seem like one of those coaches that is not happy unless he's unhappy about something. I think he made a genuine point tonight, and I agree with him.
Want to appreciate all the calls that we got in tonight. Want to thank you for all the calls and all the folks that helped us out in the program this evening, the broadcast here at the ACC as well. Dylan Brown, Len Graminopoulos, Aston Duport, and, of course, the guys back at Raptor Central as well, Dan Riccio and Mark Boffo. All of you for your calls yet again as well. Thank you for making it a solid show tonight. Raptors losing 117-101. We're back at it on Wednesday. Nuggets and Raptors right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan at 7 o'clock. Post-game coverage that evening as well. For Paul Jones, I'm Eric Smith. It's been The Wrap on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.